Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide. I'm Alan Jacoby, your host. Hope you're all doing well. Listen, everybody, I appreciate the support, and to further support the show, just like, subscribe, share, like on whatever podcast platform you're listening on, go over to the YouTube channel, subscribe, find me on social media, The Great Divide Podcast with Alan Jacoby. Hit like, hit follow, hit subscribe. It helps like-minded patriots like yourself to find the show. It doesn't get hidden in algorithms because, you know, social media and other platforms, they don't like the conservative opinion. So like, subscribe, follow, all that good stuff. All right, so it seems the radical left is pushing their war on police and would love nothing more than to abolish the police and have this lawless society that is dictated by the sick, woke, infected left. You know, mainstream media, government, they're the most divisive organizations in the country, with social media, big corporations, and Hollywood trolls right behind them, without a doubt. Our government, the leftists in government, the woke left, and with the help of the sick left-leaning mainstream media, they have worked very hard to vilify the police in America and work even harder to push the police or racist narrative to, well, whatever stupid idiot will listen. Whoever's stupid enough to listen. And unfortunately, there are millions of people that are stupid enough to listen to this woke left agenda that the police are racist and killing people of color for no reason. So it's people like us that know the true values of law enforcement, that they are here to protect and serve, to defend our police and not support the defunding of our police. Like, I think former President Obama has said at one point, but they all retracted that when they lost seats in the House the last election cycle, and they didn't like the Black Lives Matter movement saying defund the police, even though politically it didn't help them, but that's really how most of them feel. The notion that police in America are racist is completely false. I'm not going to argue about it. It's more than opinion. It's a fact. Police in America are not racist. It's not true. Police officers are not getting up and leaving their families to go to work in the hopes they'll have the opportunity to violate black people's civil rights or murder a person of color. We do know that bad cops exist. We obviously know that. It doesn't help the left. It doesn't help us. It helps the left push that narrative that the police are racist, but they're not. You could say that cliche saying there are bad apples in every bunch, and there are, unfortunately, in whatever organization it is, including law enforcement. We know that. But it's not – racism amongst police departments is not an epidemic across the country that the left would like everyone to believe. It's not. Being a law enforcement officer in America today, it's the most thankless, now controversial, and dangerous job than it's ever been, especially now. And again, it's not because of the occasional bad cop that surfaces, again, even though that doesn't help, but it's because the left, the radical left, they want to politicize the false narrative that police are racist, and they will keep pushing that. And no, the police are not racist. The police police officers, however, they are human like anyone else, and they have the same problems like anyone else. We charge the police with the responsibilities to enforce laws, keep our communities safe, to serve, to protect their communities, to protect us, to assist us in need, to just make sure there's law and order in society and we're not living like a bunch of savages lawlessly. Yes, we expect a certain level of respect and civility from our police, which 95% or more of the time we get from all police officers. Police officers have bad days. I'm not defending that a police officer, if they have a bad day, should take it out on somebody, whether they're black, white, Hispanic, whatever it is. Obviously, there is a level of professionalism and they are held to a higher standard. But again, they're human like you and like me. So we have to remember that police officers are not robots. They are flesh and blood, and they have the same adrenaline, anxiety, and fear as anyone else would, especially when they are called to these dangerous situations to protect us, and they're putting their life on the line in order to do that. Most of the time to protect complete strangers, 100% of the time to protect complete strangers. So now we have police officers who are losing the support of their communities, and these local left-run governments and federal left-run government officials because of this false narrative that has become a pivotal part of the radical left's agenda against the police. It's a war on police, and it was started by this radical left movement that the police are no good and they should just be defunded and or abolished. I mean, the Vice President of the United States herself always has been against law enforcement. I mean, I'm sure I'll say it a few times where, she saw ICE. She said the ICE was the KKK, probably why she doesn't want to go down to the border and face Border Patrol, law enforcement and whatnot. Completely useless. So this now problem that we have, this narrative and agenda that the police are racist, especially minority communities, who unfortunately the people there don't see that the Democrats don't give a shit about them and listen to every word that they say. Oh, the police are racist. The police are racist. And what does it cause? It causes criminals to feel empowered that they don't have to comply with police if they're stopped on the street or for any reason, traffic stops or other police investigations. And society, it shows people this society that's running on this narrative. It shows people that it's okay not to comply with the police, and if you don't. And not saying you who's listening, but the criminal, if they don't comply with the police and they sue the police, well, they may get a payday out of it. Or, well, they may die because they resisted arrest and ran and pulled a gun and they got shot and killed by the police who's protecting themselves. Because remember, those police officers, they want to go home to their families. They want to go home to their families just as bad as the criminal with the warrant who wants to play games who might have a family. They want to go home to their family, but that's not what they're thinking. They're thinking they want to not be put in jail by that police officer. So, in turn, that police officer is racist if they have to detain them. And then they're even more racist if that person that's being detained, who may have a criminal warrant, now gets away or attempts to resist and get away and maybe has a gun or some other weapon or makes a threat against police and ends up getting killed by the police, then it's game on. Then the whole, every police officer in America is racist, especially if that individual who was resisting was a person of color. And then what happens? Well, then Black Lives Matter activate. They will riot in that person's honor and burn down their community, burn down their city in their honor, in the name of racial injustice. Black Lives Matter will parachute in and make sure that the uprising occurs because a criminal resisted arrest and put the lives of law enforcement in jeopardy while doing that. And again, there are instances where lethal force has been used where maybe it shouldn't have been used. Maybe it didn't have to be used. But I am not a police officer. And if you're not a police officer, well, you can't say that. And you could watch all the police footage you want, but unless you have the experience and you're in their shoes, you can analyze it and have opinions. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, but facts are facts. And when you're not there, you're not there. You know, it's not a new concept, people. This is not a new concept dealing with law enforcement. It's pretty simple, actually. And if you have children, especially as they get older and become teenagers and more independent and drive cars and, you know, they get their licenses, whatever, you have the talk with them that if you get stopped by the police, you comply with the instructions given to you by that police officer that has stopped you. You show ID when asked. It's an uneasy and uncertain situation for anybody when they get stopped. I know I'm a law-abiding citizen. I get pulled over. I get a little nervous, and I can't even tell you why I get nervous. You may get nervous and not know why. It's just part of the human just way of doing things. We're human. We have adrenaline. We have anxiety. Why are we being stopped? 99% of the time when we are being stopped, we know why we're being stopped. We went through a red light. We're going too fast. We rolled through a stop sign. We're on our cell phone. Something that we do, we take for granted. It happens every day, and it's nonsense. It's over. You're on your way. You get stopped for whatever reason, and again, 9 times out of 10, you know why you were stopped. And the people that say, "Well, I don't know why I was stopped," they're full of shit, and they want to play games. They want to play curbside lawyer with a police officer, thinking that they know what their rights are better than a police officer that's trained in these types of situations. So you stop by the police, the anxiety kicks in. Even if you've never broken a law in your life, law-abiding citizens usually make sure they do everything they can to make it known they are not a threat to the officer that stopped them. I know I do. I turn the car off. I roll down all of my windows, front and back, and I turn the car off. I put my hands on the steering wheel. That's what I do. The police officer comes. I usually either, if I have the time, I have my ID out already. But when they ask, I tell them I'm going to get it and I give it to them. Very respectful. Yes, officer. And don't lie. If you know why you got stopped, just tell them. I'm sorry. I was going so fast. You're always better off telling the truth. But of course, if you are a criminal and you have that criminal mentality and you have a warrant, you're going to lie. Or you might give a fake name. They always find out and it always ends up bad. It's important for the police officers to know that you're not a threat to them. Because, and it's important for the police officer to maintain that professionalism to make the person they're stopping feel that they're not being threatened, which happens most of the time. I'd say probably all of the time. You know, criminals or past criminals or someone with something to hide, like maybe a warrant, suspended license, they usually start acting, you know, unnatural and suspicious. You know, police officers are trained to detect that behavior and act accordingly to protect themselves and also protect the person that they stopped, because they don't want that altercation. The police do not want that altercation, especially nowadays. They don't really want any altercations. I know police officers that, unless they really have to, refuse to do car stops because of the way the police are looked at in today's society. It makes it harder for them to do their job and want to do their job, especially when you have cities taking away their civil liability. And now, like in New York City, if a police officer does something wrong, you can sue that police officer and they lose that immunity that from the city that they're on their own. I believe there's cities in California that are doing it too. You know, usually the blue run, sick Democrat run cities that don't care about their police departments. So, you know, police don't want the altercation. You know, but now the criminal who has this vilified view of police, one, because they know they're a criminal, so they hate law enforcement and law and order. They don't want to comply and think they can resist and maybe get away, especially in today's climate and the way it is, the view and narrative are on law enforcement now. So maybe they could resist, maybe they can get away. No one resists or runs and gets away with it. It's going to end up in some sort of pursuit. Everybody's seen cops. Everybody's seen live PD. And they always get caught. Unfortunately, there are incidents that happen where being caught sometimes ends up because of lethal force for whatever the threat was. Again, every situation is different. I'm not a police officer. I can't say how it feels in that situation. But if you run and resist, you're not going to get away. You're not going to win a curbside argument with a police officer. You just have to roll with it and hope that the situation ends, you get your summons, and you're on your way. So, unfortunately, what increases the chance of something very, you know, running and resisting increases the chance of something very bad to happen. Obviously, there's no way around it. You know, like getting shot by the police. That's a problem. Nobody wants that. The police don't want that either. The police definitely don't want that. Again, police officers don't want to pull their weapon and shoot anybody, no matter what color they are. You know, you'll have people says, oh, no, they like to kill black people. No, they don't. You're an idiot. Anyone who thinks that is a complete moron, excuse me. But, you know, this is all because someone didn't want to go to jail usually, or back to jail, or most times they, you know, they have that warrant, or maybe they have a warrant for a violent crime in another state that they're worried about. And it's like an inconvenience for them. But most of the time, especially in some of these Democrat-run cities, that warrant, if they just go and take care of it, they're out in a day. They're out in a day. There's absolutely no reward for the risk of attempting to resist or run from the police. None. And I wish more people would really just look at the big picture, because it would help that person who wants to run and resist for something bad happening to them. And it would just, it would go a lot easier for that person if they just get arrested. Just get arrested. Go home to your family and avoid a trip to the morgue. Get arrested. Let them put the handcuffs on you. Go get processed. Go see the judge. Get out on bail if there is, if there even is bail. In New York, there's cashless bail for just about anything. Go home to your family. Worry about it later. Go to court. Do what you have to do. Get your court date. Don't go to the morgue because you decided to be an idiot. If you're wrongfully arrested, which happens, I mean, there are people in prison that shouldn't be in prison. It happens all the time. If you're wrongfully arrested, well, that'll hopefully come out in court. And then you have legal recourse. You could sue, you know, unlawful arrest. Maybe you'll get a payday. You're not arguing a possible wrongful arrest in the street, because you're not going to win. There is no argument. You're not going to win it. Common sense, people. Again, just, I shouldn't even have to be saying this. You stop by the police, you just cooperate. It just shouldn't have to be said. But I feel like now it has to be said. People have to start saying it. They should give a class on it. They should give a class to civilians on what to do if you get stopped by the police, it really should be a class. Maybe they should do it in driver's ed or something like that. You know, with all that being said, I want to put some focus on the sick leftists that want to actually defund and abolish law enforcement. I mean, could you imagine just a society without law enforcement on what it would be like? It would definitely be a place I would not want to live in. I would not want to raise a family. I'm sure, yeah, I mean, most people feel that way. I'm sure you feel that way. But actually, before talking about that and talking about those idiots, I want to talk about the newest tragedy that occurred just outside of Minneapolis in Brooklyn Center. It involved a white police officer and a black wanted man that happened during a traffic stop. His 20-year-old black man, Dante Wright was his name. He was stopped by police for expired tags on his vehicle. Now, I'm going to stop there for a second because there's a lot of mixed stories on this. When it first came out, and I'm sure you've heard about it already, it's all over. I mean, they're you know, Black Lives Matter is rioting in this guy's honor. It was originally thought that he was stopped for hanging air fresheners from his rearview mirror, which is illegal in that area. It's illegal in a lot of places. And that's why he was stopped. And the reason that was said is because when he was pulled over, Dante Wright, he called his mother and told his mother that he was pulled over for the hanging air fresheners, which I believe it turned out there were no hanging air fresheners. He was stopped because of the expired tags on his vehicle and then was run and realized he had a warrant. So police saw that there was a warrant for Wright's arrest for aggravated robbery. This was, he didn't show up to a court date. This was something, and he pulled a gun on a woman for like $800 or something, got arrested, went to court, didn't make his court date, and there was a warrant for his arrest, aggravated robbery. Just to give you a background on what you're dealing with, this is someone who has some experience in the criminal justice system and with law enforcement in the past. So there's a warrant, he's stopped, and there is footage, which I'll put in the show notes, it'll be there. There's footage of the whole arrest from a police body camera showing all this that I'll make available in the show notes. The footage shows police attempting to detain Dante Wright and handcuff him. During the attempt that he was being handcuffed and detained, Dante Wright decided he's an adult of mind, body. He made a conscious decision. He decided he wanted to break away from the police officer and jump back in the driver's seat of his vehicle. So at the same time, this Brooklyn Center police officer by the name of Kim Potter, who was a white woman, whose body cam was the one who was filming the entire time. She can be heard saying, "I'm going to tase you." Then Officer Potter says, you hear her say, "Taser, taser, taser," which police officers are trained to do. They're trained to say that when they are deploying the taser so other officers know. Except in the video, you could see that Officer Potter has her firearm in her hand, which I believe looked like a Glock 9mm handgun. So she says taser, taser, taser. She has the handgun, and Dante Wright's in the driver's seat of the car, still has one handcuff on. They didn't get the other handcuff on him, and he's attempting to get away. And what she thought was the taser in her hand ended up being her gun. She puts it in thinking she's going to tase Dante Wright, and she shoots one shot, shooting him while he's seated in the car, struggling with another officer. Once the shot's fired, you hear the officer, Potter, she said, "Oh shit, I shot him." And very surprised she didn't realize she shot him. It sounded like she honestly thought she had the taser in her hand. At that point, the car took off. He took off and ended up, they chased him. He crashed and he died. He ultimately died from the gunshot. So this obviously is a shitty situation because, one, the police officer thought she was tasing him and she shot him. Now, again, I'm not a police officer, but most from what I hear from police officer friends and from what I'm seeing, the hand that you shoot with, your shooting hand, you have your firearm on that side of your gun belt as a police officer, and on the opposite hand is the taser. On the opposite side of the gun belt, that's not your shooting hand, opposite of the firearm is your taser. So, again, I mentioned earlier that police officers are human and have the same, you know, emotions and reactions as anybody else with it, adrenaline pumping. So, is it possible, you know, she grabbed her firearm thinking it was her taser? Well, I guess anything's possible. It's obviously it was a very, very bad mistake. And the word mistake, I use it lightly because I'm not going to say accident. It was a bad mistake and what I would call an avoidable mistake. But again, I'm not a police officer and I'm not going to armchair quarterback on what happened because I have no experience about it, on it, with it. I've held both the firearm and I've held the taser. There is a significant difference in my opinion. Actually, most tasers are heavier than handguns and they're bright yellow. Whatever the case is, everyone's going to have an opinion, but I'm not going to sit here and say what could have happened, what should have happened. It, again, very, very bad mistake. But yes, this was a white female police officer with 26 years on the job. So she definitely has some experience. Apparently, she was a training officer. She was a union president at some point. And she unfortunately shot a black man that day. And what they're trying to do, the left and the mainstream media, is make it seem like this police officer was stopped because he was black. And it's not the case. He was stopped because he had expired tags. Let's stop the bullshit. And if you look at the video, the police officer that was attempting to detain him while Officer Potter was walking up to the scene, the one who ultimately shot him, the officer that was detaining Dante Wright, you didn't see his face, but you see his hands, and I believe that police officer was also an African-American. So they're not saying much about it, but from what it almost looks like is that's the police officer that stopped him, was a black police officer, and was detaining him. And unfortunately, Officer Potter, who seemed like she might have been the backup, who was going to tase this individual because he resisted and broke free, ended up shooting and killing him. But, you know, what does this mean? She's a white police officer that killed a black man. Well, we know what it means. It's, you know, it's a hot topic for every race baiter in mainstream media, Hollywood, and government, and Black Lives Matter activists out there. Protests and riots, they started within hours that night. It would even went as far as it got bad that night that, I don't know, I guess maybe it was the mayor, whoever it was, or the governor, somebody decided they needed National Guard there because the National Guard arrived by the busload and fences started going up around the police department that evening, and hundreds of Black Lives Matter terrorists. And yeah, I call them terrorists because when you show up to a community with before all the facts are out and start looting Foot Lockers, you know, Foot Locker that donated $200 million to Black Lives Matter. When you start breaking into Foot Locker to steal $200 pairs of sneakers in the name of racial injustice and, you know, go destroy the local Target and start setting fires in the street. Yeah. You're not a protester. You're not an activist from Black Lives Matter. You're a goddamn terrorist is what you are, a domestic terrorist. And they descended upon Brooklyn Center to riot, you know, like I said, loot stores and destroy property because apparently destruction of communities is a practical way to get your message across these days. And it's supported by some government officials, you know, like Maxine Waters. What's crazy is these rioters, these terrorists, they have no clue what they're protesting, or should I say, like, you know, causing havoc in the streets about. Like, they don't know. They have no idea. They think they know, but they don't know. They just, it's like they're on speed dial, and boom, they're there with their Molotov cocktails, baseball bats, pepper spray, and everything else to just start breaking windows, stealing sneakers, and setting fires. It really makes a lot of sense. This is America, people. Watch the video. Just, I implore everybody to watch the video. It's a bit graphic. I mean, you know, it shows him getting shot, but it shows everything leading up to it from the moment he was being detained. You know, and in my opinion, and I think it's more fact, is this shooting had absolutely nothing to do with race. This white police officer of 26 years did not wake up in the morning, leave her husband and two kids to go to work and kill a black man. That's not what her intention was. She didn't pull up on that car stop and say, I'm going to pull my gun, act like it's a taser, just so I have an opportunity to shoot this black kid. 20 years old, who was a father, who had a warrant. No, it's not the case. It's obvious it's not the case. This was a case of unfortunate and unexcusable stupidity on two parties. Yes, unfortunate and unexcusable stupidity on two parties. And avoidable, very avoidable. Dante Wright, who decided to resist and run instead of face justice and get home to his child, because he's 20 years old and he has a kid. And the stupidity of police officer Kim Potter, who pulled her firearm instead of her taser and made that stupid mistake. I'm sorry, but she's an idiot as well. I don't care, and I get mistakes happen, but if you're going to pull a weapon, whether it's lethal or non-lethal, you better know what the tool that's in your hand is that you're using, the situation you're using it, and the capabilities and the consequences of using that specific weapon, lethal or non-lethal. Again, I'm not a police officer, but I also think this was a very much an avoidable, unexcusable mistake. But Dante Wright did make his choice that day and try to run with the uncertainty of what might happen after. Again, in that fight or flight where you don't want to go to jail, I guess there's the not thinking clearly, and you think you actually have a shot of getting away. And the end of it and result is, well, it's a tragedy. It sucks. Is it a racial issue? Absolutely not. No. I'll debate that with anyone who wants to debate. It is not a racial issue. You think it is? You tell me why. You show me why. And we can have that conversation. I have no problem with listening to anyone who thinks that this issue was, this incident, this tragedy was based on race. Because I've had people say that it absolutely has to do with race. Someone went as far as said, oh, well, you know, because of COVID, there was a grace period for expired tags. What does that have to do with anything? If a police officer sees a vehicle with expired tags, show me where it says in any type of memo or memorandum or directives that says, well, because of COVID, you don't have to pull those people over. I'm pretty sure the law is the law. Laws just don't stop because of some pandemic and that there's a grace period for people to get their expired tags taken care of. You still, I would imagine, get pulled over and have to just say, hey, I didn't get a chance to do it. And, okay, well, there's a grace period. Just get it done as soon as you can. But then at that point, when the information is run and realize you have a warrant for aggravated robbery, it's too late. You don't pass go. You don't collect $200. You go to jail and you resist and you run. And unfortunately, Dante Wright got shot. Every choice you make has a consequence. So what made this a racial issue? Well, that's easy. Media and government. Not to mention, this incident occurred, I mean, it couldn't get any worse. This incident occurred within 10 miles of the Derek Chauvin trial, the police officer who's accused of murdering George Floyd, which I believe the defense and the prosecution just rested and they're deliberating. And that's going to be an interesting verdict when it comes out. And if the right verdict is not going to come out for the right narrative, unfortunately, I think, yeah, cities will burn. Very unfortunate. Black Lives Matter activists already made public videos saying that if there is no conviction, that cities will burn. Maxine Waters made it clear that if there was no conviction, she said she should be impeached for inciting violence, by the way, because the day I'm recording this, on a Sunday, she came and she said that if there is no conviction of Derek Chauvin, that there has to be more, basically more violence in the streets. There has to be more of an uprising. This is a sitting member of Congress that said that. And it's not the first time Maxine Waters has incited violence. This is a time she should be impeached for it because of what's going on. Because, you know, they're saying right now that there's no evidence that, no evidence showing that George Floyd's death was, one, racially motivated and might have not have been the cause of what went on during his arrest. But again, I don't know. I didn't watch the trial. I just read some stories here and there about it. And I'm curious to see what the verdict will be and the after effects. The after effects are going to be, unfortunately, I think they're going to be devastating for a lot of communities. So this area, Brooklyn Center, right by Minneapolis, there where this happened, Officer Potter was a Brooklyn Center police officer. So they have this mayor. He was just elected maybe a year before. First time he was elected. The mayor's black. His name is Mike Elliott. So he gets on. He tells the media immediately following the shooting that he is in favor of removing the police officer from her job. Without any facts, he made the comment about how another black man died at the hands of law enforcement. This is the mayor. And that he's in favor of removing her from her job. And the investigation hasn't even officially started in the facts of what happened that led up to Dante Wright's death. But the mayor, yep, black mayor, I'm in favor. Let's definitely remove her from her job. She resigned anyway. But the mayor's city manager, also black, he followed up after the mayor made that statement and said that he wants to ensure that there is due process for the police officer and investigation and what actually happened. Well, the next day after he said that, which I believe was the next day right after the shooting, the mayor fired the city manager, relieved him of his duties, put a tweet out that the city manager is relieved of his duties. Yeah. For disagreeing with the racist narrative that was pushed by the mayor and the left and the media. The black city manager fired because he ensured to the public that there was going to be due process, and that wasn't good enough for the mayor. That wasn't good enough for Black Lives Matter. That wasn't good enough for the left-leaning mainstream media. That wasn't good enough for the sick, radical, woke left, who are a bunch of racists. So they fired him. So now the radical left sickos are calling to abolish the police and end incarceration. Oh, yeah. The squad, you know, the squad led by mentally challenged Democrat socialist AOC, you know, the bartender. She wants to completely abolish the police. Yeah. Oh, and the mayor of Brooklyn Center also says right after that, he doesn't think police officers need weapons during traffic stops. And he said that, you know, right before this happened, there was, I believe it was a police officer in New Mexico. He made a car stop and he was on the passenger side of the truck. He saw the man had a weapon and he said, you know, I want to step out. You're not under arrest. I want you to step out of the vehicle so you're away from your weapon so I can speak to you, because I guess, you know, it's weapons, having them, you know, is legal there. He got out of the car and they started walking back by the bed of the pickup. And when he got out of the car, you see on the camera, it's a horrible video to watch. He had, it looks like an AR-15 rifle. He over the bed of the truck, he brings the rifle over and he shoots the police officer. And then he comes around and he shoots the police officer a couple more times, and it's all on camera. And then he gets in his truck and he leaves. And he leaves the police officer dead on the side of the road. Yeah, that wasn't covered much, because that doesn't fit any narrative, because who cares about the dead police officer on the side of the road by the drug dealer? Because he was a drug dealer, they found out. They ended up getting him. I believe the police officers, when they apprehended him, there were some shots fired and they killed him. Can't say I'm upset about that. So he murdered that police officer in cold blood in broad daylight on the side of the highway. But the Brooklyn Center, Minnesota mayor, Mike Elliott, says that he thinks the police officers don't need weapons during car stops. And then after this, just a couple days ago, just after this incident, there was a car stop in New York City, which is also on video. The police officer was asking him for ID. He didn't have ID. He told him his windows were a little dark in the back. The guy started getting out of the car, and the police officer was asking him what he was doing. And before he knew it, the guy in the car threw a chemical. I don't know if it was acid. It was some sort of caustic chemical in the police officer's eyes. This happened in New York City like a day or two ago. And this same individual, I think earlier, he threw a Molotov cocktail at a police officer. But again, that's okay because, you know, it's only the police and they don't matter anymore. The police in this country don't matter anymore. The sick, woke left who's running the country at the moment does not care at all about law enforcement. And they're promoting that to as many of their sick followers as they can. And that's the way it's going to be until, you know, Republicans with balls, and that means voters as well, start standing up and fighting like hell for what's right and getting people elected and getting these sick progressive Democrat socialists like AOC out of office. That's what's going to help our police. That's what's going to help our communities. That's what's going to help us. That's what's going to help our country. So let's abolish the police. Let's not incarcerate criminals and take away law-abiding citizens' firearms too while we're at it. It sounds like a great society to raise a family in. It's disgusting. I never would have thought this point in my life I would be talking like this, that these are real points that real elected government lawmakers stand behind about abolishing the police, taking weapons from law-abiding citizens. It's amazing. This is the society that, you know, members of this congressional squad are okay with. Now, that race baiter and racist herself, was it Rashida Tlaib, you know, the terrorist in Congress, she actually tweeted, I'm going to read it. I have it here. Hold on. She tweeted, this is Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib's tweet after this. It wasn't an accident. Policing in our community is inherently and intentionally racist. Dante Wright was met with aggression and violence. I am done with those who condoned government-funded murder. No more policing, incarceration, and militarization. It can't be reformed. This sixth statement is from a sitting congresswoman. If that statement doesn't make you sick, if that statement doesn't enrage you, that these are people in government. She's done with people who condone government-funded murder. No more policing. No more incarceration. That woman needs to be removed from Congress. AOC needs to be removed from Congress. And that's all I'm going to say is removed from Congress, because there was already a podcaster that got a knock on their door from a tweet because he disagreed with something AOC said. I welcome law enforcement to knock on my door because I disagree with a government official. This is sick. This is just disturbing. But there you have, yeah, the AOC leading the charge to vilify the police by saying the killing of Dante Wright was no accident. Says the incompetent socialist bartender. That's what she is. An incompetent socialist bartender. Only bartender that brings nothing to the table in government. It's just, it boggles my mind that people like this breathe the same oxygen as intelligent and competent people like you and I. You know, corporations, they're another entity. These ridiculous organizations, these corporations that decided they're going to give their nonsense, divisive comments and politicize things as well. One in particular on this one, Ben and Jerry's. I have their tweet too. Ben and Jerry's ice cream. They decide they're going to tweet out. This one's great. This one's great. The ice cream boys. The two white ice cream boys. The murder of Dante Wright is rooted in white supremacy and results from the intentional criminalization of black and brown communities. This system can't be reformed. It must be dismantled and a real system of public safety rebuilt from the ground up. Again, says the two white liberal ice cream men. Ben and Jerry's. Give me a break. Again, this is rooted in white supremacy. Apparently, to the left, anything that happens to a black criminal is rooted in white supremacy. Everything a Republican does is rooted in white supremacy. There was no white supremacy in the Dante Wright shooting. Again, it was not based on race. Had nothing to do with race. The police officer that was detaining him was black. An idiot police officer that thought she had a taser shot him, not because he was black. If she had the taser and she tased Dante Wright and Dante Wright was taken into custody and put in jail, we would never know who Dante Wright was. Oh, but we know who he was because this was racially motivated. No, it wasn't. You're an idiot. Anyone who says that is an idiot. Prove me wrong. Come and argue with me. Let's debate it. Ben and Jerry's. Dante Wright was not intentionally criminalized. He was a criminal. Just some examples, again, of government and corporations, you know, making great strides in dividing the country racially. That's just some examples. Dante Wright made his choice. He made a bad choice. He made a bad choice when he didn't show up to court and got that warrant. He made a bad choice for riding around with expired tags. He made a bad choice from attempting to run from the police. Officer Potter made a very bad choice by shooting him. So now, there's a community being torn apart by domestic terrorists. Black Lives Matter. Burn it down. And they're still rioting. In Portland, it never stopped. They can't blame Donald Trump anymore. They can't blame the orange boogeyman for all of the riots and the uprisings. And now a community, just torn apart by the domestic terrorists of Black Lives Matter, fueled by racial rhetoric from mainstream media and government officials. A family's torn apart because their son and father is dead because of bad decisions. Another family torn apart because now Officer Kim Potter, who she resigned, she was arrested. She was arrested and charged with second degree manslaughter. Black Lives Matter activists, they made her home address public, and her family and neighbors were being threatened and harassed. They had to put a fence around her house. Her family had to move. She was arrested. And she was only arrested because of the public outcry. I mean, if you watch the video, it's an accidental shooting. It's stupidity. If anything, she's definitely liable civilly. So is the police department. So is the city. Everything from how officers are trained to everything else maybe needs to change. But criminally, I hope it's a swift trial and she's found not guilty. Because I don't believe she is guilty of manslaughter. I mean, when you drive your car and you're drunk and you kill somebody, it's involuntary manslaughter usually. It's not murder. I'm not an attorney. But when you're a police officer and something like this happens, is it manslaughter? I don't think it's criminal. No. But again, that's for a court to decide, and who knows if she'll get a fair trial? Who knows if the George Floyd trial is going to be fair because of the outcry, the public narrative, and the threats? When someone makes a public video and says if Derek Chauvin is not convicted, that cities will burn, Black Lives Matter activists. How come that Black Lives Matter activist whose video went viral wasn't sought out and locked up for inciting violence and jury tampering? Because they didn't sequester the jury so that the jury could have seen that, even though they're not supposed to be watching TV. But again, this Dante Wright incident, it had nothing to do with race. Media, government, wannabe activists, race baiters, they all made it about race. Because it fits the narrative. But a gang shooting in Chicago, well, when 10 shootings happen in Chicago in a day, that doesn't fit any type of narrative. Which it should. Like illegal guns, not going after law-abiding citizens' guns. Then you had, I'll end with this one. There was a shooting last month. This 13-year-old boy, Adam Toledo, in Chicago. He was 13. He was out late at night, and he had a gun. And he got, the police were pursuing him. They were in a foot chase. The police, there's video of this. There's photos of it. There's a lot of different opinions. Again, I'm not a police officer, so I'm not going to analyze it like I know what I'm talking about. But a police officer is chasing this kid down a dark alley. Doesn't know. I don't think at that point he knew he was 13 years old. He knew he had a guy with a gun. He wasn't like a small little frail kid riding on his bicycle. No, he was at night where a 13-year-old kid shouldn't have been at night, and he had a gun. And when he told him to drop the gun, like the second he dropped the gun, the police officer shot him because there was the way the kid was, the angle, the police officer didn't know if he shot him. Well, that police officer wants to go home to his family and now sees this individual with a firearm. And it was a threat. It was, you know, that's. So now that the body camera footage was out, everybody's in an uproar saying this police officer should be arrested, you know, because he's white. And the 13-year-old boy was such a sweet boy to his family, said a kind, loving 13-year-old boy. He was a 13-year-old gun-toting thug on the streets of Chicago that obviously did something for the police to pursue him. But the crazy thing is if that 13-year-old sweet, loving boy who was running around the streets of Chicago with a gun in the middle of the night, if he was shot by a drug dealer, if he was shot by just some other thug, by a gang member, again, we never would know who Adam Toledo was. What about all of the people that are shot every weekend in Chicago? We don't know any of their names. Women, children, innocent people at parties where 15 people get shot, two die, and they run a story for the day in local papers. Doesn't become national news. Why? Because the shooters left. Because they were, you know, yeah, they were gangbangers who shot up a party. Where's the outrage? Where's the outcry to curb illegal gun violence? Doesn't fit the narrative. Doesn't fit the narrative. Listen, I am a huge supporter of law enforcement. Majority of my friends are police officers, local, state, federal. And they all have families, and they do not have easy jobs. And I think about them, how I know them as friends. That if any of them, how I know them as a person, would be in that situation. Because they all have families. They all have multiple kids. They're all regular people. And now they're put in these situations where they have to pull their firearms and none of them want to shoot anybody. And if they had to, and God forbid that the person that they shot was a person of color, how their lives would be destroyed for the little money that they make. It's a shame, and it's sad, and this is what our society has become because of the sick left. You're a supporter of law enforcement, then support them. Make it known that they're supported. Thank a police officer. It sounds corny to say, you know? We're not kids waving to fire trucks as they drive by. You walk into a restaurant, you walk into a 7-Eleven, you walk into a Dunkin' Donuts, you walk into your local coffee shop or wherever it is, you see a police officer on the street, you make eye contact, you wave, you tell them, be safe, hope you're having a good day, thank you. Buy him a cup of coffee. I walk into delis, I walk into restaurants for takeout, I walk into coffee places, and there are police officers behind me online. I don't care what they're ordering, even if it costs me a couple more bucks. I take money out of my pocket and I give it to them and I point and I say, this is for them. It's the least I could do. It's the least anybody could do. And police officers don't expect it. They're very humble. They're not looking for a thank you. They're not looking for a handout. They're not looking for any special treatment. They want to come do their job, protect and serve, and go home to their families because that's the most important thing for them, to get home to their families after they work tirelessly to make sure law and order is kept in the community. So I'm going to leave it at that. Abolishing the police is the stupidest term I've ever heard. Defunding the police is the stupidest term I've ever heard. If anything, we need to fund the police more. Maybe give the police more equipment, more opportunities to train. I feel like they need more training now than ever. Training to protect themselves against people out there that are actually looking to confront them and cause them harm and cause them problems and cause them maybe to not go home to their families. So, all right, everybody. As always, thank you for the support. Thank you for everything. Like, subscribe, comment, email me, go to the website, thegreatdivide1776.com. All the episodes are there. The YouTube channel's there. I'm out of Facebook jail finally. The Facebook page, The Great Divide Podcast with Alan Jacoby, it's growing like crazy. 100 to 150 followers a day. It's almost at 4,000 followers. So if you haven't followed me on Facebook yet, find me over there, The Great Divide Podcast with Alan Jacoby. Follow. Post a lot of things on there, the episodes on there. And as always, take care of yourselves, take care of your loved ones, and God bless America. Take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.